I'm Bill Mahler. We have an hour to go. We're out of here at 3 o'clock today. Full show next week as well. J.D. Gershbein has walked into the Allstate Showcase studio. He runs Owlish Communications. Look at his picture. You'll see why they named the company thusly. He wrote the LinkedIn Edge. He writes, he talks, he consults, he thinks, he lives, he breathes this thing called LinkedIn. He even sings about it. You're on.
Do I really? I don't sing.
All right.
You
well,
do not want me to sing.
Apparently, he can only live and breathe it. So if you have a question about LinkedIn, we're going to dive right in directly into the topic now, such as, I just don't get it. How can this thing really do any good for me? J.D. Gershbein, LinkedIn, the social media business platform for getting a job, getting more sales, getting your name out there, polishing your brand. Any stats, any data, at least any anecdotes in terms of how it has, in fact, made a difference?
LinkedIn has just passed 330 million users, Bill. So deceiving in a certain way, because as the usership has gone up, still there are not that many people activating in proportion. So whereas the population of LinkedIn is on the rise and every 2 seconds there's another user, you don't have people beyond just creating an account. They're just out there not using it.
Again, 312-981-7200. We're talking, I mean, it's a resource. If you've got a question about LinkedIn, how many times have you heard people say, oh, yeah, you need to be on LinkedIn? If you're in the business world, that's a truism, isn't it?
Absolutely. You're almost a ghost in business if you're not represented on LinkedIn.
And is that because it's sort of a parking space for your profile, your resume, you are who you are in business?
And a lot of it has done been part of the whole branding scenario that LinkedIn has deployed. LinkedIn has branded as the de facto site for professional networking.
Yeah, it's a very successful platform. I wonder if that might have been a surprise to some people, because 10, 12, whatever years ago when it was formed, there were a lot of new things out there, Facebook too. Mm-hmm. And I'm recalling right, that it didn't get traction right out of the gate, and it took some time for adoption to pick up.
Absolutely. We're in the second decade. We're almost halfway through the second decade of LinkedIn's existence. And where are they? Where are they compared to where they were? What did the founding fathers envision when they created the site? Has it lived up to expectations? Has it exceeded expectations? And I think right now we're at a place where more and more people are starting to get acclimated into the culture of this thing.
Are they like me, though, J.D. Gershbein, where you're there, I have a full profile, I've got zillions of, is it followers, likers?
Connections.
Mm-hmm. I'm 100% on my profile, but I don't do too much other than click yes when the innumerable number of people want to be part of my network.
What you're describing, the people like you, don't have a LinkedIn presence. They have yet to create a presence, or they've yet to...
So there's a difference between being on LinkedIn and having a presence on LinkedIn.
Yes, they have not driven their footprint deep and wide. The more you use the site, the more exposure you create, the more awareness for your brand you create, and ideally the more traffic you pull to your LinkedIn profile. And the key is, one of the things we'll get to, I'm sure, today, is the LinkedIn profile has emerged as the go-to document for job seekers, for business developers, for anybody that's looking to advance an existing career. Everything, all the scrutiny first goes to the LinkedIn profile.
Well, that's
profile.
The one you have control over. Mm-hmm. Facebook, sometimes your past follows you when you were in your mid-teens and you put all kinds of goofy stuff on there, but it is also looked at mm-hmm. by prospective employers.
Your entire internet presence, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, LinkedIn has been changing, sometimes mm-hmm. for the better, oft times for ill. What is new here in 2015?
Complete revamping of the LinkedIn profile through the last 12 to 18 months. We now have a new editorial function. LinkedIn has introduced more inline editing. So you have the ability now to go to a default editing page and ideally make corrections to the page a little easier. You've got more direct channels of communication, and everything is driving toward one-on-one, or what we call P2P, peer-to-peer interactions. There's no email blastings, there's no mass mailings really set up to handle that effectively. So your interactions are designed to be one-on-one.
Yeah, now I used to do that. I put out a show notice every week, and they used to limit you to 50 on LinkedIn, and I would just go through in blocks of 50,
right,
hundreds of, not hundreds of times, but maybe 900 or 1,000 people, I can't do that anymore. I haven't been able to for 6+ months.
You cannot copy and paste the same message X amount of times anymore. It's annoying. LinkedIn has definitely done what they need to do to discourage that. So everything now is in what I call clustering conversations, Bill. So we really pick out the relationships that we want to keep in front of us and work on those. Really work hard on those.
Weird things have happened with me in the last month. I would say that there are maybe 90 to 100 Twitter followers who've suddenly wanted to follow me. I don't know who these people are. They're all over the world. I don't know if there's some bot that's doing this. Here's Andy with a question about, which happens to me too, just strange people out of the blue, often in another country, who suddenly want to connect to me. Andy, that happens to you, eh?
Yeah, a lot. And I was just wondering to get some feedback on what to do with these generic invites versus, you know, do I ignore them? Do I explain to them, hey, I'm not going to accept any generic invite from you? Who are you? Why do you want to connect, kind of thing?
And Andy, what's wrong with your phone? You sound very peculiar, but stand by. He'll give you the answer.
I'd like to add you to my professional network on LinkedIn.
That's what you get. That's the question you get every time.
Nothing says I want to build a relationship more than that, does it?
Generic words, yeah.
You know, these days, I think the more we hear about it, we're starting to see more people do it, but yet I'm still amazed, Andy, how many people are sending me the default generic formulaic standardized text. These days, I always talk about leveraging a connection, a new business relationship, right at the point of the invitation. So if you're not thanking people for inviting you, or if you're not reaching out and really driving the relationship forward after they accept your invitation, you're at a loss.
So you think Andy should dismiss those random kinds of non-specific invites?
Well, it depends. You always want to take it case by case because the person inviting you could be a good lead for
your
business or
career.
Well,
isn't there a button you hit and it automatically just generates that? I forget the navigating.
Well, in the people you may know feature, if you're connecting with one, it will basically connect you with a whole subpopulation of LinkedIn. So you want to be very careful with whom you connect. You always want to do it at the level of the profile, Bill, so that people can see that you've visited their LinkedIn profile page and the invitation comes as a direct consequence of having
visited
the page.
Okay, so that's the path you should follow.
That's the path. Always do it at the level of the profile.
Andy, thanks for calling.
Thanks, man.
Okay. I've never heard a strange-sounding phone like that. Here's somebody from 773. I won't read the details, but he says it's useless, LinkedIn. It's just full of egotists and self-glorifying brand polishers, and doesn't see a lot of value in it. To me, I haven't had the presence, as you call it, but I've been on LinkedIn for years. I just can't seem to easily figure it out.
There are a lot of people mistaking thought leadership and domain expertise as just putting any kind of random post up there on LinkedIn, and you really should have a rationale behind posting. You're out there to create value for your network, and if you're out there posting quotes by Abraham Lincoln or Teddy Roosevelt or Winston Churchill, fortunately, nobody's talking about what they had for lunch like the way they do on Facebook, but we are seeing a bit of Facebookization going on LinkedIn. And there are people, the purists, like myself, who would like to see it kept to more of a business conversation. But at the same time, we're human. And the more we express our humanity and authenticity, I think the more that we do get noticed and do build a professional brand.
J.D. Gershbein, he wrote the book about LinkedIn. He's also the head of Owlish Communications. Here's what I want to talk about in the minute after the break.
Right.
And that is, give us the basics. What are the first three, four kinds of things we need to do if we're on LinkedIn to really make it start doing something for us?
I can do that. And if not, I got a guy.
Right. You're the guy. You're my guy, so I want to hear the answer from you. I'm Bill Motto. That's J.D. We're on WGN 720. All right, J.D. Gershbein, give me the three must-dos if I want to make LinkedIn do more than just sit there passively and smile at me.
The three must-dos. Boy, I don't know if I could nail it down to three. There's so many absolutes about this now, but if I had to boil it down to three, it keeps coming back to that LinkedIn profile page. Tell the brand story as best you can. Leave no gray area as to what you do. That would be number one. Number two would be more judicious connecting with the right people. Who are the right people? I don't know. I don't know what goes through the minds of people as they really kind of view this site with each login, but you want to connect with people that you at least intuit could have some value in your business. And the third, which is the most important piece of all, Bill, would be to pull that online conversation offline as quickly as possible. Don't let the relationship die on the vine. Activate as soon as you connect.
So you're saying if somebody connects with you or you find somebody with whom you want to connect,
yes,
don't just make the connection, but have follow-up.
This is the real downfall for a lot of LinkedIn users. It's like they've worked so hard to get the connection that that's it. They just kind of drop off into this crevasse of non-communication.
Crevasse?
I like that word.
Really?
Always have.
Very owlish of you.
Yes.
Are the young people getting it? Are schools getting it? Because I think it's, you know, Facebook, the obvious platforms are there in the minds of the younger set. But do millennials, do they need to be thinking about LinkedIn too?
Without question, millennials are one of the fastest growing demographics on LinkedIn. And those people who were born, say, at the cusp of the 1970s, 1980s, up through about 1994, graduating college. And if you're the parent of a graduating child this coming summer, you definitely want to make sure that they're active on LinkedIn. They're starting to build their networks too. Now, they may only be the personnel at the school or in the career services department, but many of them have internships. If your son or daughter is in an internship, have them leverage this to the hilt. It's very important to start building a network of professionals and not just a student base as well.
And update it. I have seen so
constantly.
Many profiles, and I'll say, hey, I thought you left that job 2 years ago. And they, I just haven't bothered.
Absolutely. The update complete profile that we talked about earlier, updating is so important because every day that it's not updated is a day of lost opportunity.
Well, you're just talking about millennials. Here's Elsie. Hi, Elsie. You're on WGN. Go ahead.
It's Elise.
Elise.
My daughter's 23, and she's been out of school for a year. She did AmeriCorps for a year, and her passion is the environment and or renewable energy, and she's still looking for a job. How best should she use LinkedIn?
Well, depending on her level of activity, she has to take inventory of her LinkedIn first degree connections. She has to take a look at who here would be receptive to an approach and to tell her story in a way that kind of gears her up toward her search. She wants to network into companies. So it's important to see the relationships that her first degree connections have with their first degree connections and see where she can get an in. A lot of the work on LinkedIn from a job search perspective, it's all relationship based these days, but it's who do I know who may have an in for me at XYZ company, or who do I know who could open a door for me? Getting the introduction is so important these days, and there's an art of getting introductions on LinkedIn. You really have to communicate very respectfully on the site.
Elise, hats off to her for AmeriCorps. My
okay,
son did that
you.
Too. I really think it's a wonderful organization. And thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay.
Bye.
Here from 217, JD, same question I have. Should I pay for the premium or stick with the free LinkedIn service?
Wow, if I had a nickel for every time I heard the should I pay for LinkedIn question, I'd probably have enough money to pay for LinkedIn. But the truth is that people know it when they know it. There are so many wonderful features that LinkedIn has in the premium program that you will only see the need for once you realize that you need it.
What's the cost?
You know, there's different phases,
tiers.
Different programs, blood, sweat, and tears.
Tiers, you know, T-I-E, blood, sweat, tears. Yeah.
Different tiers, exactly. Yeah. You have the gold, you have the platinum, and you have the silver. There's different levels. I think for the modest fee of like $19.95, I think you can get into the baseline one, and you can do everything that you need to on the paid program. But LinkedIn also has some proprietary programs that are of great help to people who are in recruiting and sales.
Christine, you're next up with J.D. Gershbein. Go ahead.
Hi, J.D.
Hi.
I am a 51-year-old woman. I had a good long career in outside sales, in media, and I've been at home caring for family and getting people set in their own places. It's time for me to get back into the marketplace a little bit, and I'm wondering how to do that in a way that doesn't make me seem like a dinosaur.
A couple of things. You address any hiatus on LinkedIn through your own business type of venture, which means that if you have years to account for where you were not represented in the job force, from a resume standpoint, that might mean something. But on LinkedIn, nobody has to know that backstory because your journey of professional development is what you put out there for the time being. In other words, when people view your LinkedIn profile today, they're getting that snapshot of who you are right now and how you can help them in their business.
I have kept a sub thing going on. I've done some project work. Mm-hmm. I've been doing some pro bono work. Mm-hmm. Nothing like I did before, but it kind of combines the things that I would like to do because I'd like to triangulate my skills into a different career path.
One of the things I always advise people in that LinkedIn profile is to elevate yourself in a believable fashion, which means become the person that you're writing about on the page. If you can do services A, B, and C, or sell products A, B, and C for companies, and you know your end user, you know your economic buyer, state that in your LinkedIn profile. Become that person and assert yourself as the logical choice to sell that product or provide that service or to add value to an enterprise if you're looking for a job. So, and I know this sounds kind of almost out of mind here, but the more you see yourself on this page, the more you start to believe in your competencies and the more you really start embracing what you do and you start telling your story better in the real world.
Thanks, Christine.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. JDGershbein.com, that's your website. Any questions can be directed to you there.
Indeed.
JD, thanks for coming aboard.
My pleasure, as always. Thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
Yeah, and may your LinkedIn future be as glowing as it's been in the past.
You're
doing a great
trips.
Job. Bye-bye.
Thanks.